G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, have a look at Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Yes, amen. And you know, I've said that before, but you know, like kind of what Jono was just saying, to believe God for new revelation. Like, this is a fairly famous, familiar scripture for many of us, particularly those in Word of Faith circles. And so you want to be doubly attentive when it's a scripture you know well, because there's you can easily just kind of tend to relax and think, oh yeah, I know this one, and then miss what, you know, because God could speak to us from one scripture for years upon years upon years. And make it more and more rich. Certainly that's been my experience as I've meditated on scriptures he's given me. Some of them become like very familiar old friends that are just rich in revelation. So Proverbs 18:21, give me an oy of you there. So death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The Message translation says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. I want to talk a little bit about our words, but I guess I want to talk about, if I put a title to this message, it would be reigning in life from a position of rest. Reigning from a position of rest. So I want to talk a little bit about reigning and how we can reign, and then talk a bit about resting in Him. You know, God wants us to reign in life, and the way He wants us to reign in life is with our words. The words that we say. And you can write some of these down. We're not going to turn to all of them. We will turn to some scriptures, but not all of them. I mean, number one, the universe was designed to respond to words. God made this universe in such a way that it responds to your words and my words, if they're faith-filled words. All right? And there's so many scriptures. Matthew 15:11, Jesus said, "Not what goes into the mouth is what defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, that's what defiles a man." In the Contemporary English Version, that same scripture says, "The food that you put into your mouth doesn't make you unclean and unfit to worship God, but bad words that come out of your mouth, that's what makes you unclean." In Matthew 12:37, Jesus said, "By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." The Message translation for that same scripture says, "Words can be your salvation and words can also be your damnation." You know, words can be your deliverance in life. It can be your answer, the things that you say, or it can be the very things that bind you up and bring you into defeat. I hear people saying things like, you know, "It just doesn't work for me. I try to pray and it doesn't work." Guess what? You're getting what you believe. You're saying those things. By your words, you're going to be justified. By your words, you'll be condemned. That's why in Psalm 45 and verse 1, it says, "My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." You're writing the story of your life through the things that you say. We're talking about reigning in life from a position of rest, and I want to talk firstly about this issue of reigning and the way we're intended to reign, the way God had set it up. Is He wants us to reign in life with our words. He designed this whole universe to respond to faith-filled words. The Contemporary English Version of Psalm 45 verse 1 says, "I will use my voice as a writer would use a pen." You know, you think about this pattern, this issue of words is so important. I think that's one of the reasons why the world has twisted it, because the devil will use the world to twist anything. You ever notice like how wordy we become? Everything's in contracts and in the fine details. Where even when they tried to impeach, who was it, President Clinton, and he said, and they were trying to corner him and get him to admit certain things, and he said, well, it depends on what the definition of is. That's a corruption, a perversion of using words to twist them so that you're saying things but you don't mean it. That's never going to work in your life or my life. God designed this universe to respond to words that we believe. If you're saying things that you don't believe, this is why it's so important that you speak truth. It doesn't tell you to not lie because it's naughty to lie. The more you lie, the more you practice unbelief. Jesus said, you can only say to the mountain, be taken up and be cast in the sea, if you believe what you say. But if you're lying all the time, well, you know, sorry I'm late, I slept in and it wasn't the truth, you just were late. Or, you know, I'd love to come to this event that you're having, but I just can't, I've got other commitments, and you don't. When you say that, you're practicing unbelief. And if this universe, if God intended for you to reign with your words, and you don't believe what you're saying, then when you need to believe God for something and you start speaking in line with the word, it's real hard because you've been practicing unbelief all the time. Everything God did when he created the heavens and the earth was made with words. You know, in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. And do you know he took her for a test drive? He said, let's see what this baby can do. I set it up to respond to words. Let's see what happened. You know, the phrase God said appears 25 times in Genesis. 10 of those times is just in chapter 1. 40% of that phrase appears in chapter 1. Let me read some of them to you. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and it was so. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, the fruit trees that yields fruit according to its kind, and it was so. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from night. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and so on and so on and so on. Why did God do that? I remember as a young Christian reading Genesis 1 thinking, yeah, I can just skip all of this. Okay, I get it. God said it. Why did God do that? Is it because he just wants to just take up more volume, make the Bible look a bit thicker than what it should be? He's trying to show us a pattern. This universe, when he made the heavens and the earth, he made it to respond to faithful words, and he showed how it did it. Like after he made the heavens and the earth, he just began to speak, and it was so. It began to speak, and that was so. And he was demonstrating, this is how you and I ought to be living. That's why the first scripture we looked at, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you'll enjoy its fruit if you love it and you understand how it works. God wants us to reign in life. He made everything with words. This universe was designed to respond with your words. Jesus himself controlled his environment with words. When the leper came and said, Lord, you know, if you're willing, you can make me clean. It doesn't say he got his special Son of God wand out and waved it over him and tapped him on the head and said, you're clean. No. He just spoke to him. He said, I'm willing. Be clean. When the centurion came and said, my servant is desperately ill. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And he said, you don't need to come. You just speak the word. And Jesus said, go your way. As you've believed, so let it happen. He just spoke. He just said it. He spoke to the paralytic and told him to rise, take up your bed and walk. He spoke to fevers. He spoke to storms. He spoke to demons. When those demons said, look, let us go into the pigs. Let us find some expression. If you're going to cast us out of this man, let us go into the pigs. He didn't open up some ancient document about spells and charms and stuff. How do I get the demons out? He just said, go. Go. And that was it. The guy was delivered. Jesus controlled things around him with his words. Can you see the pattern? God made it with words. He fashioned this universe. Jesus demonstrated how you and I ought to be living. He spoke to fig trees even. Told them, let no one eat fruit of you ever again. And then he told us we could do the same. Mark 11:23, surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but he believes that what he says will come to pass, he will have what he says. Amen. He's showing a principle. If you say it and you believe what you say, you're going to have it. And then the night before he got crucified, he said to his disciples, everything you've seen me do, he said, you can do it. You'll even do even greater than this. How could he say that if he operated as the Son of God? He couldn't say that. But see, he didn't operate as the Son of God, did he? Was he the Son of God? Yes. But did he use his powers as a son? No. He operated as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. And so that's why he was able to say to the disciples, you know, you could do what I did. If you just believe, you could do it. And you'll do even greater than this. God wants us to reign in life, and he set this whole thing up so that this universe responds to our faithful words. When we begin to speak and we believe what we say, we're going to have and experience what we're saying. And there's so many examples of that. You know, like I want to move on particularly to this issue of rest, because this is an area that I believe we need more revelation of. And the more I meditate on it, the more it blesses me. So I want to share it with you. You know, we're meant to reign in life with our words, but we're meant to reign in life with our words from a position of rest. You know, God showed us this through creation. It says, the scripture says that he made the man and he put him in the garden to tend it and to keep it. I remember when I first read that, I thought, man, sucks to be Adam, doesn't it? Because I hate gardening. And I thought, I'm glad I wasn't Adam. I had to do the weeding, hey. And the Garden of Eden wasn't like some little veggie patch. It was massive. It was like as big as a nation. And I thought, man, I feel so sorry for Adam. But see, I didn't understand. That was my ignorance speaking. How was Adam going to tend and keep the garden? The same way God made the garden, with his words. He didn't have to get the spade and the pick. He didn't have to go get a crowbar. He didn't have to get equipment and dig holes and do all of those sort of things. He could just speak, because that's the way his maker showed him how to do things. You just speak. When did digging and all those other things come into being? When they fell. God said, because you've done this, because you disobeyed me, now the ground's cursed. And it's not going to respond the way it used to respond. Now you're going to have to work off the sweat of your brow. That was never God's intention. I think it would have been fun keeping the garden. Just speaking of stuff. Wish I knew that when my parents used to tell me, go do the weeds. 2 hours later. You know, God, he showed us, like he showed Adam how to keep the garden with his words, and he only had to toil and work off the sweat of his brow after he fell, hey? But did you notice, like, we're not going to turn there, but in Genesis, how long did it take God to make everything? 6 days? Yep, it wasn't a trick question. 6 days. And then on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. What about the eighth day? What did he do then? He continued to rest. Right? And the ninth and the tenth. I just don't know if you've thought about this. Right? We know it took him 6 days to make everything. And then the seventh he rested. But what did he do after that? Did he go, oh, I'm bored. Maybe I should go make something else. Everything was done. Why did he rest? Was it because he was like spent? Like, man, I am so knackered. Hey, one more moon and I'm gone. No one, Gabriel, Michael, all the archangels, you guys just take care of everything. I just need to rest, okay? Tomorrow's my day off. He wasn't resting because of that. He was resting because everything was done. It was completed. It's kind of like, you know, if I'm making something like a meal, I enjoy a bit of cooking, you know, particularly things that I'm good at cooking and I like cooking them, and I'll experiment a bit. And I'll cook and I'll taste and I'll cook and I'll taste it and stuff. And then eventually there comes a point where it's like, that's it. And I rest. Not because I'm done, not because I'm like I'm spent and I'm worn out. It's just because if I do anything more, I'm going to spoil it. It's done. When God finished those 6 days, he rested not because he was tired and worn out. He rested because there was nothing more to do. It was all done. Everything was done. And there's so many implications from that. But the point that I want to make is then he invited Adam and Eve, he invited mankind to join him in a life of rest, where from a position of rest, Adam and Eve could just speak and say things, whatever they desired, and those things would come to pass in their life. That's the design that God has for you and I. For you and I to reign the way Adam and Eve were meant to reign, where we rule and reign with our words, but from a position of rest. Have a look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, give me an oi when you're there. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is inviting people that are feeling worn out and done. There's something wrong if in life we're constantly feeling worn out and done and spent. We're not doing life the right way. And listen, I'm not pointing the finger because I've been in those sort of situations where I felt worn out and done and spent. Thankfully, that's become less and less an issue in my life the more I learn who God is and the more I learn who he's made me. But something's wrong if that's what you're experiencing in life. You're meant to be ruling and reigning from a position of rest. And Jesus said, if you're laboring and you're heavy laden, he says, come to me, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for yourself. You know, there's a wonderful thing about being in a position of rest where you become refreshed. You become refreshed in your soul. And that mental sharpness and acuity comes back. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 2, you don't need to turn there. I'm going to read it to you. I just want you to listen to it from the Message translation. It says, it wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing, when we felt like doing it, all of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next, to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus is inviting us to enter into his rest. That's why he says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." He said, "I'll give you rest." And this scripture in Ephesians says, even though we were dead and we were fully deserving of God's judgment, yet he forgave us, he raised us from the dead, and he seated us with Christ. In the New King James of Ephesians 2, it says, even when we were dead in trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. We are seated with Christ. That's a position of rest. You know, if you've got a day of work planned and you've got certain things that you know you've got to do, let's say it's in the garden, and you've got certain things planned. I remember when we were moving house earlier this year, the gardens needed some updating, and I just thought, it's going to go Saturday, I'm just going to go get in there and get amongst it. Actually, I had Anthony and I had Andrew come over, and Micah and Joel and Aisha were there as well, Jerry too, and we all just got into it. When did we decide, like, during that day, at some point we sat down. When did we sit down? After we finished. We didn't start and like 10 minutes later, oh, you know what? I'm just going to sit now. No, when you sit, it's like you're done. You're finished. The scripture says, even though you were dead, God made you alive. He raised you up and he sat you in Christ at his right hand. That's a position of rest. Jesus finished the work. And at Calvary, when he was on that cross, he said, "It is finished." And now he says to you and I, "Come here. Come and take a seat with me at the right hand of the Father." So what does rest look like? You know, rest is a place of peace. It's a place of communing with God. It's a place of fellowshipping with God, hey? Rest will produce relief or freedom from fear and worry. When you're finding yourself becoming worried or fearful about issues, whether it's in your life or in your family, in your situation or your finances, whatever it is, if you're finding yourself doing that, you haven't come into the place of rest. Because rest is freedom from that. Rest will stop you from burning out or wearing out. You know, some people will think, well, you know what, I'd really like to rest, I just don't have time. You know, I mean, all this stuff that God says about, yeah, rest, come to Christ and you can rest and stuff, well, that's fair enough, hey, but I live in the real world. I've just got so many things that I've got to do from dawn till dusk, and I just don't have, how can I fit this into my schedule? So you don't understand, rest is not inactivity. Jesus, I would defy you to convince me, you never will, that there was anybody who had more things on his agenda than Jesus did. Because the fate of all humanity rested on him getting his task done. Getting all the things that he had done. And there were people from the crack of dawn till the very last hours of the night, there were people that were searching for him, wanting him to pray for them or to minister to them or to their family member or a loved one or something. If there was anybody who had the demands of time being pulled in every direction, it was Jesus the Savior. Yet he did everything from a position of rest. Rest is not inactivity. Rest doesn't mean that you're doing nothing. Who has time to do nothing? I mean, it's wonderful to do nothing. We go on holidays to hopefully have some time to be able to do nothing. But when we're talking about rest and being seated in Christ. We're not talking about you doing nothing. We've all got stuff to do. What we're talking about with resting is that you stop getting into your own head and into your own flesh in trying to make things happen for yourself. Well, I got no money, so I just need more work. You're getting into your head again. Well, the doctors have said this, so, you know, like, I'm just going to have to do this. Otherwise, what's going to happen to me? You're getting into your head again. You're not in a position of rest. Rest is when you stop getting into self-effort. You know, one of the devil's favorite lines to use against believers is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You ever find that when the pressure's on? You better do something. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Why? Because he wants you to come out of the position of rest and get into self-effort. And the scripture says, when you're in the flesh, you can't please God. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 10 says, he who has entered his rest has himself ceased from his works. When you rest, you're ceasing from self-effort. Jesus was able to do all the things that he needed to do in his ministry, not because he had nothing to do, but he did it from a position of rest. Yes, he was busy, he had things on, but as he was doing, and this is the way I do it in my own life, as you go about, and there's times that I'll come home and I haven't seen Jerry, like, he and I, we wake up around about the same, well, he wakes up around about 9:30 and I'm normally home around about 9:30, but there's sometimes he hasn't seen me all week. And on Thursday or Friday, he'll see me, he goes, Les, where you been? Because I've just been doing things, but everything I do is from a position of rest. That's what Jesus did. I'm communing with God. I'm doing the things that he's called me to do. So if I need to visit someone in hospital, or if I need to go and minister to someone in a shopping center, or if I need to catch up with someone, or I need to tend to some other business, I'm doing that, but I'm doing it from a position of rest. It's not self-effort. And that's what Jesus did too. He was constantly communing. You can commune with God as you're at work. You can commune with God as you minister to your family, whether you're busy cooking or cleaning or whatever it is, tending to the baby, whatever it is. You can still be in a position of rest, and it's the most wonderful thing because you feel his strength is your strength. And it's just like the scripture says, you can run through a troop, you can leap over a wall because his strength is now your strength. Rest is a place where you realize you don't need to move into self-effort. You don't need to move into your own reasoning to make something happen. How many times did the disciples fall into reasoning and miss it completely? Like when Jesus said to him, let's get into the boat, we'll go to the other side. He fell asleep, there was a great storm, and halfway through they woke him up and they go, mate, you don't care, we're going to drown, you don't even care. And he wasn't happy. Not just because they woke him up, he wasn't happy because they got out of that position of rest, and he rebuked the wind and the waves and calmed it down, and then he looked at them and he said, why are you so fearful? You know why they were so fearful? Because they got in their head. They started looking at the waves. They started looking at the wind. They started looking at the water in the boat. And they started putting two and two together and they realized we're dead. That's what happens when the devil gets you out of that position of rest and you get into your head and you think, I can't do this. And yet you know in your heart God's called you to do it. Rest is a place where you refuse to move into self-effort and reasoning. Rest is a place where you recognize you have everything you need because everything's been done in Christ. Yeah, but Pastor Les, I need that healing. I need that healing. Yeah, it's done. Well, where is it? Where is it? Just rest. Just rest. Rest is when his promise to you is more certain than what your senses are telling you. And sometimes your senses can tell you some stuff, eh? When the bills are piling high and the deadlines are like from weeks ago and you're thinking, there's not enough coming in. Your senses will be speaking to you real loud and clear. But see, rest is when his promise becomes more certain than what your senses are. Well, I don't know how I'm going to get these paid, but I'm going to get them paid. Because I know God said he supplies all my need according to his riches in glory. So it's going to happen. Hallelujah. You know, rest begins to manifest in our life when your awareness of his love for you becomes so big that your fears melt away. And we are faced with the temptation to fear and worry in a whole multitude. I mean, you know, you, right now you could be winning and that's wonderful and that's great. But there will come things, storms will come, it comes to every one of us. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person or you're in unbelief or anything. Things can go wrong or things can get complicated and that's all right. But you don't have to come to a place and start wringing your hands saying, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I've got to do something. That's when you begin to put into practice what hopefully you've been practicing during the good times. Staying in a position of rest. Well, God, this hasn't taken you by surprise. You knew this was coming. I didn't know this was coming, but you knew this was coming, and there has to be a way. There has to be a way through this. So I refuse to get into my head with this. I refuse to get into my own flesh with this. I'm looking to you. You're going to lead me. And you just become aware of his love. You love me, Lord God. You love me. You'll never abandon me. You're with me right now. You want me to have victory in this area. You want me to break through. I know it. And you've done it all. When your awareness of his love for you becomes so great that the fears begin to melt away, you're going to experience that tremendous blessing of being in that position of rest. Hey, hallelujah. I just want to finish with a story and then I want to do a bit of ministry. This message is very dear to me because it's something that I've walked out over the last number of months. Well, I've walked out over a number of years, but I guess I really had to activate it in a very deliberate way in an area of my life over the last 5 months. About 5 months ago, I began to experience some symptoms in my body. And it just started off with just like tiredness, just feeling really worn out. You know, I'd just walk from my bedroom to the shower, have a shower, come back, and I felt like I needed to lie down. I was worn out. And we were due to move. It was June, July, we were moving to a new place. And so I had to get things packed up, I had to get things cleaned up. And it's like, you know, when you're feeling worn out and tired, that's the last thing you feel like doing is doing work. But I was just worn out. So I'm just doing the things that I need to do and just rebuking this thing off me. Because we rule and reign with our words. Is that right? So I'm not going to start saying, like, what's wrong with me? I'm just tired all the time. I don't want to empower that thing. I want you to hear really carefully about some of these things that I'm sharing with you. Because I'm not claiming to be an expert, but I have learned some things. And this stuff is awesome. It works. It's powerful. It's life-changing. Well, we moved house, and the feeling of like tiredness just continued to increase. Don't worry about the baby. Jeremiah loves me preaching. Eh? He's practicing altar call, responding to altar calls. Yeah. But, you know, like as we grow as a church, we're going to have other kids and stuff, and that's fine. Hey, we want them to hear the word. We want them to be exposed to that. But you don't be distracted. right? We can choose, right? It's so easy to, oh, what's going on over there? And soon you're losing the revelation that God wants to bring to you. So put the word first. I got some stories I could share about that. I got a neighbor across the road that hates my guts because of that. Anyway, that's another story. Because I put the word first, and I don't apologize for that, eh? Anyway. So we moved, and I was still feeling these feelings of, I've just kind of worn out. And soon it wasn't even just worn out. There was like a lethargy, like a, yeah, I was tired, but it's like, it's not just tired, but it was like low energy was there, like extreme low energy. Even walking like 10 meters, and then just feeling like, man, I'm done. And like, you know, speaking to my body and speaking to myself, saying, no, I can do whatever I need to do, and just going about and doing the things that I needed to do. Now, this is really important. I wasn't doing things hoping that maybe I would get healed or hoping that maybe something would turn around. I knew that God had done everything. He'd purchased my healing through Calvary, and it was in me. I didn't need to do anything except rest and speak from a position of rest. So that's what I was doing. Well, as the days turned into weeks, this stuff began to intensify more and more. And then other things, like my muscles began to ache. I'd wake up in the morning, I'd just get up, and my muscles are aching. And then soon my muscles are twitching. And I'm not just talking about a twitch here a twitch, there a twitch. It was everywhere, twitch. It was just like thousands. I'm talking about thousands of twitches an hour all over my body. My face, my neck, my chest, my thighs, my arms. It's just like twitching. And I'm speaking to that. I'm reigning in a position of rest. And so the twitching had started, and I'd say, stop it. And it would ease. And then about an hour later, it'd come back again. Or the tiredness would come on me, and I'd say, get off me. Get off me right now. And then I'd go for about half an hour, an hour, and then it would come back, you know, and I'd speak to it again. But these things, and then just there were multiple things. There was about 8 or 9 things. There was one of the weirdest things that began to happen. This is over a period of several months. One of the weirdest things was this feeling of fear and extreme anxiety. But it wasn't an emotional feeling. It was a physical feeling. I'd never experienced that before. I'd wake up in the night and feel like I am super stressed. And I'm thinking, I've got nothing to stress about. What's going on? And I just speak to it. I say, get off me. And it would ease off. Sometimes it would keep me awake. I mean, sometimes like it's like I couldn't get back to sleep then, you know, like it would ease off, but then I couldn't, you know, my heart, like I became aware of my heartbeat. Like I could hear it. It's like my whole body would shudder with my heart. It was a very, very strange thing. It's like I didn't need to know, do I have a pulse? I could feel it. I think probably one of the worst things was this dizziness that began to develop, and soon like everything would be spinning. There's a number of times that I came to church. So I want you to understand all of these things collectively. It's just, I felt like at times like I'm putting out one fire and there's another fire here, you know, like, and then there's another fire here, and I'm speaking to these things, and I'm determined to stay in this place of rest. No. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to worry. There were times, many, many days where I would get either no sleep or very little sleep. I was just saying, no, God, this is done. As far as you're concerned, this is done. So as far as I'm concerned, this is done. I'm the one who has the final authority over my body. My body has to come into line. I refuse to fret about this. There was one day I just said to the Lord, I said, look, do I need to be concerned about this? And he said to me, you need to make a little adjustment. And I said, all right, well, if it's just a little adjustment I need to make, I'm not going to fret about it. No, I'm sure you're going to show me. Anyway, weeks turned into months, and there were a couple of occasions where at church, during God stories, I thought I was going to collapse. It was like, there was one time that I had to hold on to this as I'm holding on to the mic, And I had to put my legs out like that because I'm thinking, like, everything is just spinning. You know, it's hard to really talk to people when the room's spinning. I kept every appointment that I had. I ministered as God wanted me to minister. I song led as God wanted me. I preached the word. There was not one time. I'm not trying to big note myself. All I'm trying to say is that I was staying in that position of rest, even though there were some crazy things that were going on and I didn't understand in my mind. I had to stay out of my mind. I didn't understand what was going on. But I just knew this is done and I refuse to fret. And God, you love me so much. You want this in, you want this to, you want the my freedom from all of this stuff to manifest. I wasn't waiting for God to do something. I want you to understand, I hear some people say, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. No, you're not. God's done everything. And I understood that. So that's why I was determined. I'm going to stay in that position of rest and do the things He's called me to do. Nothing was going to stop me from keeping appointments. It was around about that time that Phil, like in the natural, if I got into my head, I couldn't see past a couple of days. I'm just telling you, I had to stay out of my head. I got invited by Caris Bible College to go. The third years were presenting their business leadership projects. They asked me to be on the panel to adjudicate and to assess. And I remember it got to 3 days before I was due to go. I had to stay out of my head because if I got into my head, I couldn't see how I could get there. I'd get in the car and I'd feel like, man, I've got to stop because everything's moving and I haven't even got going yet. I remember about a month ago, the Lord, I was at church and I was like in the natural, I was really struggling and the Lord spoke to me and He said, I want you to get Anthony and Jess to minister to you. And so after the service, I called them and I said, I want you guys to pray for me. I didn't tell them what was going on. I just said, look, I've had some pretty serious symptoms going on. I said, I just believe God told me to get you guys to lay hands on me and pray for me. And so they did. And some of those symptoms did ease temporarily and then they came back. But I remember after they prayed, Jess came up to me a little bit later and she said, I just feel like God's saying you need to make a small adjustment. Now He had said that to me a few weeks earlier. So when Jess said that, I thought, okay, God, you've shown me. You've shown me what it is. For some reason, I haven't been paying attention. For some reason, I've missed what you've been trying to show me. If it's a little adjustment, because I asked you, do I need to be concerned about this? Some people, like I remember I shared it with like Micah and Joel. Some people have asked me like, oh, why didn't you go to the doctors? I didn't feel like I needed to. If you need to go to the doctors and things are going on, go to the doctor. I didn't feel like I needed to. If I felt like I needed to, I would have gone. There's nothing wrong with going to the doctor. Even though in the natural this looked serious, I just felt like, no, this is done. So when Jess said, there's something that you need to, there's some little adjustment that you need to make. So I thought, okay, well, I know that you've shown it. You're not holding anything back. You want me to experience, you want me to experience this freedom from all of these things. So what is it that I'm missing? I said, I'm asking you for wisdom. Just like that, it came. And He showed me how several times over the course of that few months, He'd said, add a little bit of salt to your food. And I'm saying, well, I'll do that. I'll sort that out later. I just want to get on top of these things. So I thought, that's it. That's it. So I began to add some salt to my food. Within a few days, a lot of them, just began to lift, hey, within the course of a few days, hey. And then the rest of them, there was still about four or five of them, over the next few weeks, I believe it was my faith that just pushed them out, hey. And today in the natural, I'm 95%. It's not 100% yet, but that last 5% is dead and gone, hey. But you know what? When for 5 months you felt like as sick as a dog, it feels so good to feel normal, hey. It feels so good. It feels so good. Because if I got into my head, I'd be thinking like, I can't remember what it feels like to feel normal. But the things I want you to hear from this is you rule and reign from a position of rest. I wasn't staying away from the doctors because I was scared of what they were going to say to me. It just wasn't an issue for me. When I said to the Lord, do I need to be concerned about this? I was asking him, do I need to go to the doctors about this? Because it had been several months. It was going backwards. I was losing ground over months and months and months. It seemed like the more I determined to stay in that position and speak with my words, it seemed like the more I was going backwards. And that's after about 3 months, I said, do I need to be concerned? And he said, no, you just need to make a little adjustment. I did go to the doctors just a few days ago. I went and got a blood test and had a checkup and stuff. Not because of anything of this. It was just like time for my annual checkup. Because I'd been diagnosed with diabetes a few years ago. Every year I go for a checkup. She said to me, she said, you are the perfect bill of health. She said, I'm not allowed to say that you're cured of diabetes. She said, but there's no evidence that you've got it. She said, your liver is fine, your kidneys are fine. She said, everything, your blood pressure is fine. She said, your cholesterol is improved. It's even better than what it was last year. I've got a friend who's a nutritionist who hates, because like I tell her I eat bacon every day. She said to me, she said, you don't eat it every day. And I said, well, I try to, but I don't get to. She said, you know that's not healthy. And I said, you know what my cholesterol is? She said, what? And I said, 4.3. A good cholesterol level is, I think, 6.5 or less. Mine was 4.3. That was a year ago. Since then, I've eaten lots of pork belly and crackling, and now it's 3.8. So I can't wait to see her again. But like, we are meant to rule and reign from a position of rest. There may be things that are happening in your life right now, and you don't understand where it's going, but just understand this, that God has promised you a good future and a hope. And He wants you to live long and strong, and He wants you to live victorious. He wants you to have breakthroughs. He wants you to have that promotion, that better job. He wants you to do well exceedingly in every area. And just because you can't understand in your head what's going on, it doesn't mean you just throw it all away. Stay in the position of rest. What has He promised you? What has He said to you? And allow Him to lead you. And those things will come to pass. Do I hear an amen? Amen.